coming up on 22 minutes in front of the top of the hour on Budweiser's weekday sports feed on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. Time to talk a little fantasy football. Jeff Erickson, an expert at rotowire.com for two decades, the industry's premium fantasy sports resource. Let RotoWire help you win at fantasy football. They have all the draft kit information you'll need to dominate your league. Get a free 10-day trial at rotowire.com/free. So Jeff Erickson is with us. And Jeff, we're going to talk about quarterbacks and wide receivers. I wanted to ask you a quick strategy, draft strategy question first. So personally, I used to always go running backs at the top of the draft, definitely in the first round, if not the first two rounds. Some go quarterback early on. One of the new trends, though, is to get the big stud wide receivers early. What's your general strategy right now when it comes to who to go for early in the draft?
Well, it's interesting because last year the big trend throughout the industry was to preach zero running back. Was a strategy, it's a plan, and it makes a lot of sense. The idea behind it is, you know, running back is a volatile position. Players get hurt a lot. There's variance in performance from year to year, the top wideouts are more reliable, and then the second and third tier wideouts kind of dry up pretty quickly. So you want to grab as many of them as you can early on, especially in what we call PPR leagues, points per reception leagues. That last year, that got turned on its head. The top running backs were the top running backs. David Johnson, Lev Bell, Zeke Elliott all came through in spades. And, you know, the second tier, too, came through pretty good, too. LeSean McCoy was another big winner for you. And so this year, we're seeing a little reversal of that in the drafts I've been in. It's kind of been 8 running backs to 4 receivers, 7 running backs to 5 receivers in your standard 12-team league. I personally still like the wideout play, especially in points per reception leagues. In a standard scoring league, maybe not as much of an impact on that, but I will wait on quarterbacks almost always. There are a few exceptions here and there, but I almost always wait on quarterbacks in my drafts.
Jeff, you know, we're obviously here in northern Indiana, so we're in Colts country to some degree,
right.
And we just got the news, you know, recently about Andrew Luck, who, you know, may start the opener, may not start the opener. I'm curious, from your perspective, how does that affect, you know, what your strategy is with drafting a guy like that? I mean, does that affect, you know, when he goes, when you're not sure if he's going to begin this season? What's your kind of your perspective on that?
Well, it's interesting seeing the spin on the news because, for one thing, he got put on the PUP list, but that's training camp PUP list, preseason PUP list, physically unable to perform list. But that was expected all along. He had surgery on his shoulder. He just begun his throwing program. I think the good news is that he's already started his throwing program, and that's the thing I want to focus on, you know, because at any moment in time when he's ready to practice, they'll take him off that list. You know, if he starts missing the first couple preseason games, then I'll start to worry a little bit more. But the funny thing is, I haven't seen him drop in drafts that much. He's still probably the third or fourth quarterback taken. There's obviously Brady. Brady goes, and then Rodgers goes, or vice versa. And then Drew Brees, and then it's usually Luck. So he hasn't really dropped too much in terms of, like, the draft value on the board. So I find that kind of interesting. But I would say that I think there's a good, reasonable belief that he could have a bounce-back season if that shoulder is right.
Now, you mentioned a couple of the names there. From what I've seen, just kind of looking around, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers up at the top of the quarterback ratings. Who's your number one, and kind of how do you go after that?
I go Brady slightly ahead of Rodgers because I just trust the offense and the coaching staff and putting them in the right place a little bit more than I do Rodgers. Rodgers is going to run more, so he's going to get you some, you know, 2 to 3 touchdowns, maybe 4 or 5 with his legs and a few yards. Brady will give you nothing on the ground. Maybe it's quarterback sneak here or there. I think Rodgers might actually, you know, throw it a little bit more because his defense isn't as strong behind him, so they might be trailing in some games to get some garbage time production every once in a while. But I think Brady, I mean, with adding Brandon Cooks this year, I think he's set to have a monster season. It may not be tantamount to adding Randy Moss on the cheap, but I do think that the Pats, a full season of Gronk with Cooks in there, I think could be really explosive this year.
Jeff, you mentioned the top, you know, 3-4 quarterbacks, and those top guys, it seems, you know, people will take them very early on. I'm wondering, where's the kind of the disconnect where after the first, you know, certain number of guys, people will say, okay, I better wait and, you know, stockpile other positions and then grab a quarterback later on?
Yeah, well, and I think the first question is, when do you, if you plunge on one of the top four, how early are you willing to go? I won't take a quarterback usually until the fifth round. That's just the way I am. Every once in a while it makes sense for Rodgers or Brady early on, especially in some formats where you get 6 points for a passing touchdown. After that, I think quarterbacks 5 through 10 or maybe even 12 are fairly fungible. So I'll find myself in round 8 or 9 still waiting to take my first quarterback and trying to pick on the more volatile positions. Now, there are exceptions. I'm in a league that's got what's called a super flex, which I don't know if you guys play too often with a flex position where you can put anybody in that spot. The new trend is now to allow a quarterback. It's called the super flex spot, and that changes the whole game. That means like quarterbacks go in the first round because you can use two quarterbacks, and that changes everything. And it's been the biggest flaw in fantasy football for years because the quarterback's the most important position on the field, yet in fantasy we devalue it all the time. You see, yeah, outside the top 17, 18 quarterbacks, you'll see guys go undrafted every year, and that just shouldn't be the case. And I think this new trend is something that's going to change things.
Jeff Erickson, fantasy football expert from rotowire.com, is with us talking a little fantasy football, quarterbacks and wide receivers today. And let's switch over to wide receivers a little bit. Who are the guys, and maybe based on what you were saying early, you know, you're going to take a wide receiver anyway, but who are the definite guys that you have to grab if they're there in the first round?
I think there's a big four. Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, and A.J. Green. I think those are, you know, they're blue stocks. You invest in them every year, they're going to come through for you in one way, shape, or form. Green got hurt some last year, but I don't think anybody doubts his ability to bounce back. Mike Evans had a huge year last year, but if you dig a little deeper, he got it on a ton of targets, and I don't know if he gets that same target share this year. They added DeSean Jackson in the offseason. They drafted O.J. Howard, and I think he's going to have to share the targets a little bit more. So I think there might be some drop-off there. Jordy Nelson also often goes in the first round. T.Y. Hilton is right on the edge of that. In a 12-team league, he's going to go somewhere between 11 and 15 overall. So that he's pretty much the drop-off. And then you see a bunch of other wide receivers in the second round. Dez Bryant, Michael Thomas, Amari Cooper, Doug Baldwin, Brandon Cooks all get a lot of love in that second round.
I want to know, obviously you just mentioned some of those top guys at the wide receiver position, but on the other, the kind of the flip of that, for a just a typical fan, a typical player, who is a wide receiver that either is a rookie or a journeyman, but someone who's in the right position now, the right situation, where we might not know their name, but someone that you're really high on?
Well, you'll know his name, but you won't expect him to be this high, and that's Terrell Pryor. After one full year as a wideout with the Browns, he's now with the Redskins, and he's their top wideout. You know, they still have Jordan Reed at tight end, but, you know, Jordan Reed's had a severe concussion history in his past. You always worry about that. I think and the Redskins just throw the ball enough, and they've got a good quality quarterback in Kirk Cousins that can deliver it to them. I think Pryor could pop with them. So I think people underestimate when they're doing their draft, especially when the first time they do a draft, realizing that there's people that high on them, they're going to go. It's going to bounce up. Top rookie on the board, I would say probably have to go Tennessee. I think you just go with their situation there. You know, I know they signed Eric Decker, but if I'm looking at the receiver core there, Corey Davis, you know, they reached up to get him as the first receiver in the draft, and I like his skills a lot. Just rookie wide receivers often have some growing pains. We got spoiled a couple years ago with, like, Beckham and his rookie season, but that usually doesn't happen. I think that he, though, is probably best situated among the rookie wideouts to have a big year as rookie season. You know, a couple other guys that people might be overlooking. Adam Thielen on the Minnesota Vikings might be better than Stephon Diggs. I think he was more efficient in his targets last year. I think a full year of, you know, going into camp, knowing they're going with Bradford again, I think that Thielen clicked with him pretty well, and I think he's going to get more targets this year. He had 92 targets pretty much in half a season last year, and I think you're going to see the second, you know, a full season of him being one of the starting wideouts. It's going to bode well for him.
Jeff, going back to strategy a little bit, are you definitely taking a wide receiver? Do you think people need to take a wide receiver in one of the first two rounds?
Almost always. There are exceptions. I think where you draft and the type of league you're in both dictate that a little bit. Say, for instance, you're at the back of the first round. If the top four wide receivers, maybe Evans is taken, I could see getting behind a strategy where you end up with, you know, we end up with like LeSean McCoy, Devonta Freeman, or something of that nature, or Jay Ajayi, get those two running backs, and then pound the wide receivers after that. You probably have to go three or four in a row after that to adjust for that. I think you need to open yourself up to what the draft gives you. If you get hell-bent on taking one position, say in the second round, and the last of a tier gets taken before you, you need to have that ability to zag and take the next best value instead of sticking to your, I have to take a receiver plan. Because sometimes drafts go strange, and a league will kind of overreact to one trend. Last year, that was certainly the case. I saw leagues where there's nine receivers going in the first round, and by the end, you're looking at like Keenan Allen at the end of the first round, and he got hurt in game one of the season. But it also opened up the door for some of these running backs to come in at really good value. So you need to really be cognizant of the values that are presented in your draft.
Jeff, you kind of laid out the top, I guess, couple wide receivers that people are going to jump up and take, but is your unanimous number one kind of Antonio Brown? Is that your top guy, or is there an argument to be made for a couple other guys to be taken ahead of him?
It's not as unanimous as it's been in the past, in part because Ben Roethlisberger has two problems. One, he's much worse on the road than he is at home, and two, he tends to get hurt for a couple of games. And when Roethlisberger's hurt, Brown's production is way off. And so that's something that's been a little bit of a drag on his production. He's not as big as some of the other top wideouts, so sometimes he gets hurt in the red zone. And they do get Martavis Bryant back this year, so there's an argument that he may not get as many red zone targets. I think most of that is a small drag on his production, though. I'd still take him ahead of Beckham, but it's pretty close. I think Beckham and Julio Jones are really close to Brown in terms of overall value.
Jeff, my last question for you. I want to jump back to quarterbacks here real quick, but you were talking about waiting until the fifth round to get a quarterback, and I've kind of done that in the past as well. Sometimes you get burned. Sometimes it works out, just depending on who it is. I think I got Romo in the sixth round one year.
Yeah.
Just because it was before he was really a star. But if you're picking this year, as you look at the rankings, who are maybe one or two quarterbacks where you're going to feel pretty comfortable you can win with if you get them in the fifth or sixth round?
Yeah, and to clarify, I'd wait even longer. I'd wait till the eighth or ninth round. And what I do is I grab two of them. Pretty much back to back. Try to get different bye weeks. I'm not going to have their schedule to memory, but you want to be able to have options. So I like Andy Dalton in that tier, Dak Prescott, Tyrod Taylor, Phillip Rivers, Jameis Winston, Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr. There's a bunch of these guys that all are pretty close in value. Roethlisberger, get two of them. Chances are someone who's drafting a quarterback early isn't going to pluck that second one from your clutches, and you'll be able to have a choice of a couple of them there. So I wait till the eighth or ninth round, get two of them back-to-back.
Just from somebody like myself who grew up near Chicago watching the Bears, has been watching the Bears, with Alshon Jeffrey going to Philadelphia, I'm curious on your perspective with him, a guy that has had injury issues, consistency issues, but has all that talent. What do you think he's capable of, and where do you think he kind of lands as far as fantasy drafts go?
I think he's interesting because of the injury issues. You really can't pay full price for him, and then you add in the fact that Carson Wentz didn't throw downfield all that much last year, and the Philly offense is a lot of dink and dunk, and that doesn't really suit well for him. Although maybe in year two they take the reins off a little bit more and they open up the playbook, but I think Doug Peterson's going to keep it pretty close to the vest. They invest in the running game in the offseason as well. It does, Jeffrey is the type of wide receiver that Wentz didn't have last year, so it might be a chicken versus egg argument. But I would probably wait till, the fourth round before I'd be willing to take him. And so far, I've done about eight drafts so far, and I haven't ended up with them so far. So I think maybe I'll change my tune once I see how it works in the preseason. That's one thing I do think the preseason is valuable for, seeing new acquisitions, see how they work with the offense there. But we have him on RotoWire on our cheat sheet right now as our number 21 wide receiver, right in the same area as Devontae Adams, Sammy Watkins, Emmanuel Sanders. And he's getting drafted probably around 15 to 16.
Jeff Erickson, fantasy football expert from RotoWire.com, the industry's premium fantasy sports resource. Let RotoWire help you win your fantasy football. They have all the draft kit information you'll need to dominate your league. Get a free 10-day trial at RotoWire.com/free. Jeff, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Great stuff with you.
My pleasure. Looking forward to talking to you again, guys.
All right. Sounds good. Jeff Erickson talking quarterbacks and wide receivers, and we'll be talking running backs and tight ends and the like. if not tomorrow, then Thursday. I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but he'll be back talking more fantasy football with us later on in the week.